Well, our first reading from the book of Deuteronomy alludes to the theophany on Mount Horeb, when the people of God were so terrified at hearing the voice of God in the heart of fire that they went to Moses and they said, "We can't take this. We are scared out of our skin at hearing God's thunderous voice and seeing God in the fire. We are so scared we could die. We can't take it. We cannot stand the presence of this awesome God. And so, Moses, from now on, we would like you to talk to God. And then you tell us what he said." And so Moses brings this to God. God says, "All right then. That seems like a reasonable request. So we'll do it that way. But once you are gone, Moses, I will speak through one of their brothers. But they will have to understand that he will speak with my authority. And if anyone refuses to listen to him, they will have to render an account to me." And God fulfilled that promise in a way that nobody would have expected. God enfleshed, God incarnated his very word, the voice that terrified the Israelites so, in his Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus was not a prophet like Moses, as the Jews would expect to come. No, he did not speak the words of God. He was the word of God itself made flesh. And when he spoke, people could tell the difference, as they did in the synagogue at Capernaum. Church, how loving and gentle our God is. You know, compared to our frail and created mortality, God naturally would appear like fire and thunder. But because he does not want to terrify us, because he wants to draw close to us, he becomes as non-threatening as he can. He is born as a defenseless, vulnerable baby with nowhere to lay his head. He could have come as a Caesar and inspired awe and even fear among the human race. But he didn't. He came as our brother. And now, today, we can hear the voice of God in human voices like our own. We can even read the words of God in a book that we can hold with our own hands. We can draw near to God and touch him and taste him in a little piece of bread and a cup of wine. Do you know what the Israelites experienced at Mount Horeb when God manifested himself with mighty voice and with fire? What they experienced was the fear of God. And you know, biblical language exhorts us to have the fear of God. It is a virtue in the Bible. The fear of God is one of the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit that is prayed for at confirmation. And so even though God has made himself so non-threatening, we need the fear of God. The demons, who often know so much more than we do, they have the fear of God, as we saw in the gospel today. To fear the Lord is to know that we stand in God's presence. God is alive. and we stand in His presence. To fear the Lord is to strive to please God because He is God. To fear the Lord is to give God our undivided attention because He is God. And that is why when we gather in assembly and we hear God's voice in the Scriptures, we stop and pay attention. We don't move around the room. We don't look for our seat. We don't fidget. We don't daydream. But we pay attention because the voice of God speaks. And then, when the gospel is proclaimed, the very words and actions of the Word made flesh, we stand up and we sing Alleluia and we make a fuss and we sometimes incense it. Because remember what God said about Jesus to Moses. He said, He speaks with my authority. And if anyone refuses to listen to His voice, He will have to render an account to me. To fear God is to approach the Eucharist with reverence. Because then we are approaching and touching the body and blood of Christ, who is God. To fear God is to respect and care for and reverence all that God has made in love. All of creation, the forests, the earth, the water, animals, and every other human being. Yes, God has made Himself so non-threatening so that we can draw near to Him and He can draw near to us. But He is still God and we are not. And so today, let us pray for a fresh outpouring in our lives of that gift of the Holy Spirit, the fear of God. Amen. Amen. Okay, now for the moment you've all been anxiously hoping for and waiting for, a bonus mini-homily from Father Gregory. I hope you all noticed in the second reading today that St. Paul said, the married man is anxious to please his wife, and the married woman is anxious to please her husband. That is a beautiful statement about what the sacrament of matrimony means, that two people are anxious to please each other. So I really encourage all of you who are living that beautiful sacrament of matrimony with that scripture of St. Paul's reminder of what it's all about. And along with that, I want to share for all you people living that vocation these beautiful words written by one of the great early theologians of our faith, Tertullian, in something that he wrote to his wife. He says, how sweet the yoke that joins two of the faithful in the same hope, the same law, the same service. Both are brethren in the service of the same Lord. They are truly two in one and the same flesh. And where the flesh is one, the spirit is one. Together they pray, instructing, encouraging, and supporting each other in turn. They are equal in the church of God, equal at God's banquet. They share equally troubles, persecutions, and consolations. They hide nothing from each other. They never avoid each other's company. They never cause each other pain. Christ rejoices to see such a couple, and He gives them His peace. Where they are, there He is Himself.